Many years ago, I asked an older preacher, who is probably about the age that I am now, where do you get ideas for your sermons? And he said, well, I keep my ears and my eyes open and my mouth closed most of the time. And as I got older, I learned that he was right. Ideas for sermons can and do come from almost anywhere. And this morning's lesson is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. As many of you know, on the 15th of last month, I had the opportunity to travel with my aunt and uncle to Amory, Mississippi, where they lived and worked for several years, but left in 2007 and had not been back since. And so they wanted to go and revisit and see their old friends and have a good time. Well, I had been talking and texting with one of their good friends, a lady by the name of Sister Bernice Smith, for quite a while. Turns out she likes to play golf as much as I do, maybe even more. So we had a lot to talk about. And plus, it gave me an ulterior motive to make this trip. Well, that Sunday night in Amory at worship service, I was introduced to Bernice's 91-year-old mother, Sister Mary Lois Moore, who, by the way, drove herself to the building. Well, it turns out that Bernice's mother and I share a hobby, as Brother Gerald does as well. We like to write poetry. Bernice texted me one of her mother's poems, and when I read it, I found some excellent sermon material. And so with Sister Moore's permission, I plan to develop some lessons on her poem. It's a 16-line poem consisting of 8 couplets, you know, where the 2 lines rhyme. I want to begin by reading the poem completely, and then make some applications today on the first couplet, and then, Lord willing, next week we'll look at the next 2 lines. So this is Sister Moore's poem. Life's precious years are passing so fast, and we all must stand in judgment at last. As we stand there, saved or condemned, it will all depend on what we have done for Him. Christ gave us His word as a guide and a chart. We must love and obey it with a humble heart. Those who refuse His will to obey will receive a sad sentence there that day. We all have sinned and need God's love, so He sent Christ down from above. He gave His life and blood to take away sin, but we can only receive it when baptized into Him. When we do this, laying aside our pride, He adds us to His church that He calls His bride. When God decides that this world must end, Christ will come and take His bride with Him. Now, where some may just see lines of rhyming words, I see words of encouragement, words of edification, and words of exhortation. So thank you, Sister Moore, for your generosity in allowing me to use your poem and for your obvious love for our Lord. Please open your Bibles to the 90th Psalm, Psalms 90. And as you're turning there, let me reread, so to be fresh in your memory, reread the first 2 lines of Sister Moore's poem. Life's precious years are passing so fast, and we all must stand in judgment at last. I want us to think about that word precious. One of the definitions of precious is an object, substance, or resource of great value, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. sometimes we hear the term precious stones, precious gems. Well, one of the qualities that make an object or a substance or a resource valuable and not to be wasted is its scarcity. For example, gold is so valuable because there's so little of it. There's a limited amount of gold and other precious stones. Well, time, or as Sister Moore puts it, life's precious years, time is also limited. Not one of us is guaranteed another moment, another day, much less another precious year. Do we need any more reason to not waste the time that we have? To not treat a single moment carelessly? We all understand what precious means, and I think we can understand what it means in Sister Moore's poem. Life's precious years are passing so fast. In Psalms 90, the psalmist writes about this very thing. Notice beginning with verse 10. Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Some of us may live to be 70 or 80 years old or 91 years old, whatever the case may be. But even the best years of our lives have pain and trouble, and soon they're cut off. They disappear and we fly away. And so if you'll notice in verse 12, the request to God is, teach us to number our days. Teach us to realize the brevity, the shortness of life, so we can grow in wisdom. Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Notice the first two verses. Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So whether we live but a few years or many years, our lives are brief in the grand scheme of things. And not only that, troubles of all kinds happen to all kinds of people. Someone has said that our mortal existence is like a shooting star that streaks across the night sky only for a moment, and then it disappears. It's gone. Just think of all the great leaders of the past, the inventors, and all their accomplishments that we enjoy even today. Think about the movie stars and the athletes of the past. You know, the ones that when we were young, we wanted to grow up and be like. Where are they now? Gone. Like a flower that withers away and a passing shadow that quickly disappears. James writes in chapter 4 and verse 14 that your life, my life, your life is a vapor. It's like a puff of smoke that appears for a little while and then it's gone, vanishes away. I'm sure you've noticed the days are getting shorter, aren't they? The morning is getting a little bit colder. You know, when you go out on these cold mornings and crank your car up for the first time, you can see that exhaust coming out of the tailpipes, right? It's there, but then what? It's gone. The next time you get out on a cold morning, you crank your car up and you see that vapor coming out for just a second, and then it's gone. I want you to remember what James says. That's what life is like. Here, then it's gone. But it didn't seem like that when we were younger, did it? You remember when you were a child, how slow time passed? Remember your birthdays, special days like birthday, and forget about Christmas. You remember how long it seemed? Christmas would never get here, right? Well, what happened? There's still the same number of days in a year, right? Still the same number of hours in a day? Where did all that time go? It's true. It's true what we sometimes sing. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 that God is no respecter of persons. Well, neither is death. Death is coming for every one of us. Life's precious years are passing so fast. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of his death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." So Solomon says that none of us have the power to prevent the day of our death. All the wealth and riches that we might accumulate can't prevent it. Science and medicine cannot stop it. All we can do is prepare for it. Jesus told his disciples, and he told us as well in John chapter 14, that he was going to prepare a place for the faithful, and that he and only he is the way to that place. So it's up to each one of us to prepare ourselves for that place, for that prepared place, for prepared people. Right? You know that. You've heard that. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. Paul writes this, Ephesians 5, verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly, there's one of those good old King James words. But all it means is be careful, be cautious in all aspects of your life, especially in the decision-making process. Be careful how you live. Notice in that verse, Paul says there are two ways that a person can conduct their lives, either foolishly or wisely. To walk foolishly is to walk without God. What does the Bible say? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." So to walk without God certainly is to walk foolishly. What about walking wisely? How can we do that? To walk wisely is to submit our will to God's will, to follow Him, to walk in the light as He is in the light. And Paul says, walk wisely. Look at verse 16. "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Make the most of every opportunity you have, Paul says, in these evil days. You know, we've talked about it before. It really doesn't matter what period of time you're talking about. Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, it can be truly said that days are evil. It doesn't matter if you're talking about the past or the present or the future. Bad things have happened, bad things are happening now, and bad things will continue. to happen. There will be trials and troubles and temptations to face. It's a fact of life. But how a person deals with these evils of life demonstrates either wisdom or foolishness. We can walk foolishly, wasting and throwing away moments of time in each day of our lives, or we can walk wisely by saving, by redeeming the time in every day that we live. Be sure to know this: God, our Creator, has given every one of us enough days, enough years on earth to spiritually redeem the time, to find eternal salvation for our souls. And to do that, to walk wisely during our time on earth and to find eternal salvation, look at verse 17. The next verse, it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Salvation is found in godly wisdom. It is found in knowing, in understanding, and in obeying the will of God. Eternal punishment is the result of failing to obey God, following worldly wisdom. So let's all walk wisely, making the most of whatever time on this earth the Lord blesses us with, because life's precious years are passing so fast, and we must all stand in judgment at last. We're told in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." The appointment of death has been made for all mankind, and this appointment will be kept. You can't cancel this appointment. You know, you have an appointment with your doctor and it's not convenient, you can call up and cancel, right? You can reschedule. You can, for some appointments, you can actually send somebody else. You know, a business appointment, you can't make it, well, I'll send somebody else in my place. Not this appointment with death. God himself made this appointment, and he made it immediately after the fall of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3. Go way back to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field." Verse 19. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now, some, in fact, probably many people believe that death is the final appointment for mankind. Well, they'd be wrong. Certainly death is an appointment that must be kept, but it is not the final appointment that we'll keep. Remember Hebrews 9:27? It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, that means after death, comes what? The judgment. Death is not the end of our existence. Physical death is the separation of the spirit and the body. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. Notice what Paul writes here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So notice Paul mentions an inward man and an outward man. There are some who tell us that man is completely and totally mortal, and that when we die, that's it. It's over. There's nothing left. We're dead all over like the little dog Rover. But clearly that's not what Paul says here. Clearly Paul does not agree with that concept. He says, this is why Christians don't give up. We faint not. Why? Because even though our physical body is dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. There is more to man than just this outward body. Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Life's precious years are passing so fast, and we all must stand in judgment at last. You know, during our lives, we have to be careful about judging people, right? Judging others. In Romans chapter 14, in this section of Paul's letters to the Christians at Rome, he's addressing the problem of judging and condemning others over matters of opinion. He says if we do that, then we're making ourselves judges. But he goes on in Romans chapter 14 to explain that we're all one body. We're all equal. We all belong to the Lord. So therefore, to judge and condemn others over matters of opinion is sinful. There's only one Lord, Jesus, and he reigns over his kingdom, his church. The right to judge belongs exclusively to him. And to make his point, Paul asks two questions in Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. Notice. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? In other words, why should one Christian condemn another for having an opinion that's different than theirs? Or why should one Christian consider the opinion of another to be at naught, which simply means to not be worth anything? Well, the obvious answer is they should not, they must not, and to do so is to sin. And notice what Paul says at the end of this verse, verse 10, for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will keep that final appointment at judgment. Acts 17, verse number 30. Acts chapter 17, verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why are all men everywhere commanded to repent? Read verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The day of our appointment at judgment has already been set. None of us have any idea when the day of judgment will be. But rest assured, you'll be there. We will all be there. We will all keep that appointment. We must all stand in judgment at last. Some of you here may remember Brother Andrew McBride. What a great man. Can't tell you how many wonderful conversations I had with him. And we talked about all kinds of things. And we talked about the judgment day and when the Lord was coming back. And he said it more than once about the judgment day. He said, you know, if I was going to take a trip on a bus and that bus was going to pull up in front of my house and take me on this trip, but I wasn't sure of exactly what time that bus was going to get there, he said, you know, I'd always have my suitcase packed because I sure hate to miss that bus. None of us can know when the judgment day is. But all of us can have our suitcase packed. We can be prepared to stand in judgment at last. Is your suitcase packed? In case that bus comes early, because that bus is not going to wait, right? When that bus pulls up, you can't start to get ready then. You got to be ready. Now is the time to pack. Now is the time to prepare for judgment. I hope you can see the point I'm trying to make. We're not talking about a bus, really. Now is the time to prepare for judgment. As long as the Lord blesses you with life's precious years, you have time to prepare. But after death, it'll be too late. Maybe your life's precious years will continue till the Lord comes back. It could. The Lord could come back this afternoon. Maybe you'll live till the Lord comes back. But even so, even if you are alive when the Lord comes back, it will be too late to start getting ready then. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I got to ask a question. How much packing could you get done in the time it takes to blink? None. Please don't put off getting ready to stand in judgment. There is death and danger in delay. Is your suitcase packed? Are you a child of God? Have you repented of your sins? Confess the name of Christ? Put Christ on in baptism for the remission of your sins? Perhaps you have obeyed the gospel, but you've not lived faithfully for God. Do you need to repent and ask God to forgive you? Listen, if there's something you need to say to someone, say it. If there's something you need to do, do it. Don't put things off thinking, I've got plenty of time. And that is especially true, spiritually speaking. If you are unprepared to meet the Lord in judgment, right now is the time to get prepared, because life's precious years are passing so fast, and we all must stand in judgment at last. If you're here this morning and you are subject in any way to the Lord's invitation, please come as together we stand and as we sing.